Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, and chapter number 25. Jeremiah and chapter number 25. We've been going through this series of the book of Jeremiah, and we're taking it in chronological order. So because of that, it means that we jump passages from time to time, because the book of Jeremiah is not written in chronological order. We have saw Jeremiah as he was called as a young man to preach, and how God used them and warned him ahead of time that you're going to preach, but no one's going to listen. Don't look at their faces. Don't be careful of the faces. Just preach what I've told you to do. And that's what Jeremiah has done faithfully for all of this time. He's preached during the reigns of Josiah, his friend, and Jehoiaz, that was only ruled for a small amount of time. Now we're in the reign of Jehoiakim. And Jeremiah has been faithfully preaching, even though people haven't appreciated his message. We saw last time that there was actually conspiracies risen up, that people would conspire together not to obey the Bible. And the old adage is, when everything goes wrong, blame the preacher. When you don't like the message, blame the preacher. It's much easier in people's minds to disrupt or discredit the preacher, the messenger, than to actually heed or try to discount the message. They believe that if they could find something wrong with a messenger, that it voids the message. And that's not how it works. And we find our way to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 25. Jeremiah 25, and we could see some time has progressed on, as Jeremiah has been preaching faithfully, but yet no one's been responding. What are the results of this so far? Notice with me in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Jeremiah 25 and verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah, saying, and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the king of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, and ye might provoke me to anger with your works of your hands to your hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land will be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations, great and great kings, shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. And if you have the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25? Jeremiah chapter 25, and notice with me in verse 8. Notice the phrase, because ye have not heard my words. Because ye have not heard my words. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the opportunity it is to be in your house tonight, to be able to open up your word and to be able to glean from it. And Lord, we know that you have a message that you want to speak to us. We know that you clearly want to speak to us. And Lord, I'm praying that as your people that we're receptive, that we have a desire to hear, to obey, to listen to what you would have for us, that we could change, that we could be pleasing to you. Lord, if there's anything in our lives, anything that needs to be observed, anything that needs to be corrected, anything that needs to be purged, help us to be sensitive enough to you to allow you free access to change whatever needs to happen. Lord, help us to hear your words. Lord, again, I need you in a special way. Just fill me with your precious spirit. I'm just depending on you. I'm abiding in you. I'm surrendering myself to you. Fill me with your precious spirit. And that you speak to your folks tonight through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah has been preaching for quite a while now. And time is now running out for the people of Judah, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is now attempting to conquer the entire known world. He is making inroads in and about, and now he is outside the doorsteps of Jerusalem. This mighty king, the mighty king of Babylon, mighty Nebuchadnezzar, is outside. And his desire is to make sure that this troublesome city is under submission. He surrounded, besieged it, and threatened to destroy it. With Babylon outside of the gates, Jeremiah stands once again and says, see, I told you. For all these years, I told you to listen. Now you hear what's outside the doors? This is because you haven't obeyed. Because you haven't heard my words. And once more, he declares another message about the upcoming judgment if the people don't get right. If you don't mind, let's take this time and examine this passage. And the first thing I'd like to do is to show you is God's words of warning. God's words of warning. Notice with me in verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So now we could date our books. We could follow dating. If we were to use our dating system, it would be approximately 605 BC. So 605 BC is the date. Nebuchadnezzar's in charge of the Babylonian Empire, thoroughly had crushed the Assyrian Empire, and he's in charge. And now he's making his way, destroying everything possible, bringing under to his subjection, and now he's parked right outside. Notice, if you don't mind, we get some more information, verse number 2. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, now again, let me give you the backdrop. I want you to imagine that you're in a city. Now remember, back in those days, cities were walled to try to keep out the enemy. But it doesn't matter how big your walls, if you have an enemy that is big enough, powerful enough, that the walls will come down eventually. It's just how long will you withstand and how long will you suffer before you give in? The idea of besieging in those days is the army would camp outside the walls and make sure there was no delivery trucks. So if you can imagine, there was walls around Green Bay. And imagine there was no more Walmart trucks to come in. How long would people survive without Walmart around? No more McDonald's deliveries. No more food deliveries. No more things coming in and no more things going out. You're stuck. Whatever you have in your house, that's all you have. How many of you would survive the week if you just had to survive with what you had in your house? All right, so now, with the backdrop of the army outside, with the threat of the city being conquered, Jeremiah stands up and he says, guys, this is what we've been warning you about. You haven't obeyed. You haven't listened. He says, in fact, God has been trying to warn you for a long time. This isn't just a new thing. It's almost like dealing with children. Have you ever had a child that you told them many times, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And they do this. And next thing you know, they're surprised about why they're getting in trouble. Have you ever dealt with a child who was completely just astonished? They're shocked because they got in trouble. I mean, how did this happen? Well, we told you not to do that. What did you expect to happen? This is what's going on here. Everyone's surprised. But why would God send the Babylonians? Why would God destroy us? This shouldn't be a shocker. Jeremiah's been telling them for quite a while. Notice how long, in fact, in verse number 3. For the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, which is the 23rd year. Jeremiah has been preaching for 23 years now. The same message. Get right. Turn from your evil ways or God is going to destroy the place. So now everyone's shocked. Everyone is stunned. Everyone's amazed that the Babylonians are outside the gates now. They're just shocked. How in the world did this happen? And Jeremiah is saying, listen here, this shouldn't be news. I've been doing this myself for 23 years. For 23 years, I have been warning you, obey God's word. Listen to him. Stop provoking him. Listen. And he says, by the way, I wasn't the only one. Notice as we go on. From the chapter 25, verse 3. From the 13th year of Josiah, the king of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. The idea of rising early and speaking means that they were warned early. It wasn't like you were warned after you got in trouble. It's not like you saw the speed limit sign after you got pulled over. All right. You were warned before it happened. You were warned early and often not to do this, to turn from your way, to stop going this way. But they didn't listen. Verse 4, and the Lord had sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Hey, during this time, you've already had Isaiah. You've had Habakkuk. You've had other prophets preaching to them. And they haven't listened. It's not like Jeremiah was the only one. There had been many voices that had been telling them, stop, 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 stop. And they haven't paid attention. They haven't hearkened. They haven't inclined their ear to hear, it says in verse 4. Again, the Lord had sent unto you his servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. This again means that he sent them early and often. Before it got to this place, they were warned. verse 5, they said, turn ye again now, everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given to you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye may provoke me into anger of the works of your hands to your own hurt. Now again, God, out of his loving kindness, had sent warning after warning after warning after warning after warning after warning. Many of you are parents, probably have felt that way. How many times do I have to tell you not to do this before you get it through your head? Why haven't you listened to me? And the child says, I listen to you. You understand there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? They may hear the words that you say, but we don't want them to hear the words they say. We want them to obey what we told them to do. You know, it's one thing for someone to say, that's a nice message. It's another thing for someone to do something about it. Now, why don't we stop here and let's contemplate. We understand that there are evil people out there who hate God. We understand that. We understand that there are some people who make a lot of noise about the preacher. But you understand there's a lot of people who don't make a lot of noise? You understand there's some good people out there who are disobedient. There are some good people out there who need to change their ways. They're not yelling. They're not trying to kill the preacher. They're just not doing anything. You ever think about, why are we in this place? You know, if it's just a few people that are mad at the preacher and they're rallying everybody else, what about everyone else? Let me tell you why the other people haven't changed. Because they don't think the message is for them. They don't think the message is for them. They're good people. It's like good church people who sit in church pews. And they hear a message over and over and over. And they smile and nod. They'll even say, good message, preacher. But they don't change. Why don't they change? Because they don't think the message is for them. They don't think they are the ones that are wrong. And you understand, this is the most frightening position to be in the first place. You understand, we have different types of societies. We have a moral society. That means people know what is right and what is wrong, and they choose to do right. There is an immoral society. That is a society that knows what's right and knows what's wrong, and they choose what is wrong. Then there's an amoral society. That is a society that just doesn't know what's right or doesn't know what's wrong. They don't know the difference. That is the most dangerous spot to be in. That we have people that say, I'm fine, I'm good as I am. They don't see what they're doing is wrong. They don't see that their attitudes is wrong. They don't see that their daily life has things that are wrong in it. And because they don't see that there's things in their life that are wrong, they don't fix them. Does that make sense? So we're not speaking to evil people tonight. That's a different message. We're not speaking to people who are saying, I know what's right and I'm choosing that. We're speaking to people that say, you know what? I think I'm good. And they don't recognize things in their life that need to be fixed. That is why Babylon is outside of the gates. Not necessarily because of the evil people throwing a fit. It's because of the average person who doesn't recognize the message is for them. You understand, this is why we need to always take the message personally. What do we mean by that? We've all been to church services where we say, man, I wish so-and-so was here. They really needed that message. We've all been there that says, man, pastor's really letting so-and-so have it today. But we have a hard time saying, you know what, the message is for me. It doesn't matter what is preached, this message is for me. That's the type of attitude we should have. We should be ready for God to speak to me. Not speak to my kid or to so-and-so over there or that grumpy old person over there. God knows who's going to be there. Think about this. God knows who's going to be in a church service tonight, right? You may not know who's going to show up, but God knew who was going to show up. He already knew what message he was going to have preached that night, right? So is it logical to assume that God knew that you were going to be here, knew what message was going to be here, and he arranged it so you were here to hear this message? Every message that you show up for, God is expecting to speak to you through that message. He wants to use it. He wants to do something. But when we get stuck in a mentality that that's a good message, but it's not for me, we don't make any changes. And when we don't make any changes, we continue to do the same thing we've always done. And when we continue to do the same thing that we've always done, we're going the wrong direction and we don't even realize it. We think we're good. And so when Babylon's outside of the gates, we're all surprised and saying, what happened here? Well, it's because God's been warning you. Really? I thought he was speaking to someone else. No. He was trying to get a hold of you. He was trying to get something across to you. He was trying to help you. He was trying to be a blessing to you. You understand why God sent Jeremiah in the first place? So God could bless the people. God wanted the people blessed. He did not want them judged. But they had to turn from their wicked ways. They had to turn from their current course of action in order for God to bless them. He's trying to help them out. And so the problem is not with all the evil people. It's with the good people who say the message is not for me. And because they didn't make any changes, nothing happened. And now Babylon's outside the gates. And everyone's saying, what happened? Why? 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 And so we see, first of all, that God's words of warning, that God sent warnings, and he sent it early and he sent it often. He tried to stop this from happening, but they didn't listen. And so because of this, this led to God's words of judgment. God's words of judgment. So now Babylon's outside the gates. What's going to happen? Notice with me in verse number 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, notice this, my servant. You understand that Nebuchadnezzar is not the bad guy in this. Nebuchadnezzar is not the bad guy. He's God's servant. By the way, parents, we've been there. That no matter what the kids think, that when we have to chastise our children, we're not the bad guys. Right? We as the parents weren't the ones with the offense. But we have to chastise. We have to fix. God's not the bad guy and Nebuchadnezzar's not the bad guy. Nebuchadnezzar in this illustration today is the rod that is going to be used to spank God's children. Is the rod? It's just a tool. It's not the bad guy. And so you can't blame the rod. That evil Nebuchadnezzar, if it wasn't for him, we'd be happy. Well, if it wasn't for my parents' rules, grounding me from whatever. You understand, the parents aren't the bad guy. The chastisement's not the bad guy. What happened is that someone did wrong, and there are consequences for it. That's just how it goes. So notice as the consequences are being named. It says, verse 9, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all the nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, judgment is come. Nebuchadnezzar's outside the gates. And God shows the people how real his warning of judgment is. Consequences for people's sin is now coming forth and it is bearing fruit. Now, God has declared that this is going to happen for 70 years, that the Babylonians are going to come and are going to kidnap the people. They're going to transport them away, and they're going to be away from their home for 70 years. To place an explanation mark, Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes the brightest young people, captures them, and drags them to Babylon. It is at this point right here that you have a young man by the name of Daniel who is taken to Babylon. Another young man by the name of Hananiah, you know him as Shadrach. Another young man by the name of Mishael, you know him as Meshach. And another one of Azariah, you know as Abednego. And he takes these four young men and others, and he transports them to Babylon. And we see their story picked up in Daniel chapter 1. This happens at the same time. Why is this happening? Because the people didn't obey God. Because the people said, the message is not from me. It's not mine. It's someone else that has to obey. I'm good. And because no one did anything about it, the judgment has come. And can you imagine what a horrible thing it was for the Babylonians to come and to kidnap the biggest and the brightest, the cream of the crop, those that were the future, and to take them away to never come back home, to be re-educated, re-taught, and to have them trained to forget their past. That's the consequences. Horrible consequences. You know what God is doing? Is that God is trying to tell them that they're serious. God hasn't destroyed Jerusalem yet. Jerusalem will not be destroyed until 586 BC. Right now, it is 605. You could do the math and subtract. It's still going to be another 20 years. You know what God is doing? Is God is giving him 20 years of warning. He chastises him and says, now I'm correcting your behavior. Listen here. You have time to get it fixed. And unfortunately, we know in history, they're not going to get it fixed. But you know what God is doing? He's telling him, I'm serious about it. I'm really serious. Don't you do it again. You need to fix this behavior. You need to correct it. We see God's words of judgment. Now, God just doesn't leave it here. He does give his words of warning. He gives his words of judgment. But he finishes off this segment with God's words of hope. God's words of hope. Now, he said, all right, 70 years this chastisement's going to last. But let me tell you, the good thing is, it's only going to be 70 years that this judgment's going to last. Notice with me in verse 12. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Think about this. That what God does is he uses, in this illustration here, he uses the Babylonians as a rod, as a chastening stick, as a whipping stick. Some of you are old enough to go pick your switch. So think about this. It's your old switch. It's the paddle. It's the spanking. It's the board. It's whatever that's being used. Babylon is the instrument. And you know what God does when he's done spanking his child? He breaks the instrument so it can never be used again. You understand, this is a word of comfort here. That rod, when I'm done with that rod, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to break it so it can never be used on you again. That the chastisement, it'll be done. You don't have to worry about that chastisement again. You understand, he's trying to give them words of hope. And he's given them so much completed words of hope. He says, guess what? 70 years is all that's going to last. Notice with me in verse 13. And I will bring upon all my words which I have pronounced against it, even that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds, according to the works of their own hands. Notice with me in verse 13 again. I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even that is written in this book, which Jeremiah had prophesied against the nations. Now, what is the prophecy here? Now, Jeremiah takes some other things and speaks about the nations in other passages. But this is important. He said, 70 years. 70 years. And it's over with. Remember, I just told you about Daniel, right? Notice with me, Daniel is taken in 605 BC. He is dragged to Babylon and he's re-educated. But God does a special work with Daniel. And Daniel's rose to a place of prominence. If you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. And let's pick up and look over Daniel's shoulder. Daniel chapter 9. Now, Daniel was someone of the scriptures. He knew what the Bible said. And so notice with me, if you don't mind, in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and notice with me in verse number 1. Daniel 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the king of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. And I prayed my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And he goes on and pray. But let me tell you what happened. Daniel was keeping a calendar. And it just so happened as he was checking his calendar and he checked the Bible, and he said, hey, look, in Jeremiah chapter number 25, God said 70 years. He checked his calendar. He said, guess what? 70 years, it's over with. And you know what Daniel did? As he went back and said, all right, God, you said 70 years. This is what your Bible said. 70 years. And he says, God, I'm coming to you because you're the God who keeps his promises. You're the God who keeps his word. You said 70 years, God, and we get to go home. And you know what happened? That at 70 years in 536 BC, the Babylonians were destroyed by the Persian Empire. And Cyrus the Great sent a decree to the Jewish people that said, go home, go rebuild your temple, go worship your God. 70 years! Man, Daniel was excited that day. He looked at it and said, look, God, you're going to keep your promise. You understand this was a message of hope. Now, when you're standing there looking at the 75 years or 70 years, it doesn't look like much hope. But you know, after the chastisement, after the spanking, after when things are right and you're right with the Lord again. Oh, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. We got a great God. You understand this is a message of hope. That God said, I'll give you hope here. 70 years. It's just going to last for a moment. It's just going to be for a moment. The chastisement, it's not going to last forever. It's going to last for a moment. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be better off. You understand? What was the whole chastisement about in the first place? What was the whole spanking about? It's because the people would not worship God as their only true God. So God had to go take them outside of the woodshed. He had to spank them. He had to get their attention until finally they came to the place where they said, there's only one God, and that's our God, and we're choosing to follow after him. You understand that all throughout this, God is a good God. We're just bad children, but still he loves us. And he promised here, I'm going to break that rod. I'm going to break it, and it's only going to last for a moment. And I'm going to restore you, and I got plans for you. That even when we fail, God still wants to use us. You understand, for us, correction is not a bad thing. Correction is a loving thing. God doesn't want to destroy us. And so why am I bringing up that point? Well, I said before that the whole problem was not the evil people. It was good people who said, the message is not for me. We need to get to the place in our life where we say, God, I want your correction. If I'm doing something wrong, I want you to correct it. Because your corrections are only going to help me, not to hurt me. Your corrections are made to be blessings, not to disrupt me. We have a revival service starting this Sunday. And how do we apply this message? We need to approach every message, every service, that God is planning to speak to me. That God's not just planning on speaking to someone else. That the message is for me. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. Assume that God is trying to get your attention and trying to help fix your life. You understand, we need to be a type of people that we don't mind God's correction because we could see the loving kindness behind it. We could see the hope. We could see that God's trying to do. Remember that we will not change if we don't see that anything is wrong. The only way to change the future is to disrupt the present. We have to recognize that perhaps there's something in our lives that need to be fixed. So how do we prepare our hearts? How do we make sure that we're listening to God? Well, if you don't mind, may I be some practical suggestions leading into our revival service? How can it be sure so that way you can hear that God is speaking to you? First of all, I want you to be in your Bibles. You cannot be a spiritual person without being a scriptural person. You cannot be a spiritual person without being a scriptural person. If you haven't been in your Bible leading up to the revival meeting, you're not going to hear His voice. It's going to take all week to finally get you to listen, and by that time it's going to be over with. You need to be prepared now. In addition, if there's any known sins in your life, get rid of them. If there are any known sins in your life, get rid of them. Otherwise, it's going to spend the whole week of trying to convince you that your sin is wrong, and you're going to miss everything. You're going to miss the help that you need. A third thing is to be in prayer. Have your heart tender. Have your heart prepared. Be already in praying ground to God. Already be in a ground where you could talk to God. Be confessed up. Be as right with God as possible. You understand that there are some people who approach a revival meeting and they haven't talked to God in a while and they're afraid to talk to God because of their sin. You know, that communication is going to be important. We want God to speak to us. So, first of all, be in prayer or be in your Bibles. Second of all, get rid of any known sin. Third of all, go ahead and be prayed up. Be in prayer, looking for it. There's the practical things of being on time, of having your stuff ready, that stuff. We've talked about that before, but we're talking about really preparing our hearts. Another thing to do, if you want to hear God's voice this next week, turn off the television. That television will distract you from hearing God's voice. When I speak television, I'm speaking about entertainment, whether it's video games, Facebook, television. You know the distraction things that happen. Turn them off just for a week. The world will not be destroyed if you don't check Facebook for a full week. I guarantee it will still be as nasty and as awful as when you left off. Their television shows, your favorite things, guess what? Everything's streaming. They don't even have VCRs anymore. You could find it. You won't miss anything. You will be fine. Set aside this week. Put it up there so you could prepare your hearts. That you could say, God, speak to me. And then the last thing I want to give you is assume every message is for you. Assume every message is for you. God knows which meetings you're going to show up to. And He already has a message prepared for that meeting. He wants to speak to you. He wants to help us. It's not because He's evil. It's not because He's mean. It's because He wants to bless us. But He can only bless us as if we can correct our behavior. And we can only be corrected if we realize that there's something that needs correcting. As long as we feel like we're fine, as long as we're saying, I'm good, we will not change. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare for this revival meeting for God to have free liberty, free course to choose anything in our life and to fix it. That He would have free liberty to move us however He sees fit. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.